Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to live your life by design in 2009? Well, then sit back, relax, and enjoy an empowering conversation to advance and enhance your life. And now, your host, Ms. Kathy Holloway Hill and Mr. Tony Lamont.
Good evening, listeners. I am Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we are excited to join you this evening for another wonderful episode of Living by Design. And Tony, we finally made it to week 12 of our Review, Renew, and Reclaim Your Life series. This is so very exciting.
Yeah, getting ready for the launch and getting everybody ready for what's going on.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. We are so ready. And next week we have a very special guest, a very, very dear friend and an empowerment individual, and I'm going to just leave it at that. So I'm going to keep that a secret because that's going to be the grand finale surprise, and we're also going to be giving away a special bonus for the first 25 book buyers of Emotional Bailout. And actually, the book launch date is the 10th, which is next Thursday. So next Wednesday on the show, it's going to be the eve of our actual book launch date. So get ready for that. Mark it on your calendars. Go to emotionalbailout.com for details. And there's also a sneak peek of all the gifts. And, Tony, I'm telling you, those gifts are fantastic. It's something for everyone, whether you're having financial problems, relationship issues, whether you're dealing with job loss or health and wellness. If you want to design a website, technology pieces there. We even have a couple of MDs if you have anxiety problems or depression problems and just a little bit of everything. So go take a look. I know there's something there for you. And here's the good thing, Tony, and this is just, hey, I'm not telling you what to do with the gifts. You can do whatever you want to do with the gifts. We are right here at the holidays, and this just happens to be the gift-giving season. So what better gift than the gift of empowerment and life transformation? So you can take those gifts and use them, or you can take those gifts and give them to your family, friends, loved ones, coworkers, whatever you want to do with them. That's up to you. So dare I say re-gift?
Well, you know, and I'm going to say it like this. A lot of people wait until the beginning of the year before they do the New Year's resolutions and all those kinds of things. The best thing about doing it now and getting these wonderful, wonderful services is that you can not only use the services for yourself, but as you said, from a gift standpoint, it's a great opportunity for you to say to a loved one, friend, or family, as you mentioned, hey, look, we're going to do this together. I got all of these services, and I want to share them with you so that we go into the new year, we go into 2010 with a whole new attitude, and we're going to work together because, as we've heard many times on this show, it's always good to have someone to do it with, to have someone to go through the process with you. So that would be great. Let's say, for instance, somebody got everything. That would be great. Because you got everything, and then they could share with someone they love or even somebody they hate because it'll help them be a better person. Then they won't hate them.
Well, let's hope that's not the case. But, you know, we know a lot of that goes around. So especially in these days and times when the economy's bad and, you know, people are at each other's throats and it's kind of difficult. You know, we've got a lot of negative news stories going on with spouses and, you know, infidelity and whatnot.
Yeah.
So sorry to hear about that. So sorry to hear about that. But we have something for you, whether it's Mrs. Woods or whoever it is. We have something for you. We have gifts for relationships, dating, whether you're married, whether you're looking for that special someone, whatever the case may be. And I'm not saying that's going to solve all the infidelity problems out there, but, you know, at least it's a start. It's a start. So, unfortunately, we just live in a very difficult world. So, you know, just have to try to continue to empower yourselves and strengthen your spirit and just be ready for whatever life throws at you, because Lord knows it's going to, you better go through life with a catcher's mitt on, because it's going to really throw some things at you. So, but moving on, Tony, you know, we have two great guests that are coming on tonight. And our first guest is going to be coming on the line. Actually, both guests that are coming on tonight happen to be PWN sisters of mine. I am a member of the Professional Woman Network, and it's actually headquartered here in Louisville, Kentucky. And it's a very, very professional, wonderful organization of sisterhood, and we learn so much. There's an authors institute, and we, as you know, Tony, I've co-authored five of their books in their prestigious library of women's empowerment books, and the two individuals that will be coming on tonight are both members of the PWN, so I am really excited about that. The first young lady, her name is Erica Gilchrist, and she has over 15 years of experience working with individuals and coaching and developing techniques focused on the enhancement of the human spirit. And I am really, really happy to bring her on the line. She's an educator, a workshop leader, keynote speaker, entrepreneur, life coach, and she's also an author in the PWN prestigious library of books. So I am going to go ahead and bring Erica Gilchrist on the line. Erica, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine, Tiffy. How are you?
I am fantastic. And you?
I am overexcited and unstoppable. Thank you so much for asking.
Absolutely wonderful, wonderful. Now, Erica, you're calling from the Chicago area, right?
Yes, I am, and it is a little bit chilly, but that's okay. There's no place like home.
I was just going to ask you, what is the weather like there? Is it really cold, rainy? Has winter started setting in, or what's going on?
Winter has taken a little jog, so it's getting into the winter season. There aren't any more leaves on the trees, but the temperature is in the mid-30s right now. And to Chicago, that's pretty okay. So no rain, no sleet. Everything is fine for Chicago weather right now.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. I mean, we are into December. I mean, it is the first week of December, but typically,
oh my goodness,
further up north you go in Chicago area, it's pretty bad there. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But it's nice to have a white Christmas. So
yeah, it is. I can't believe it's December already. My goodness, 2009 is so out of here. It's gone.
You know, Erica, that is absolutely true, and I'm glad you said that, because that's a great segue in for what we're talking about with my book campaign and how life empowerment and transformation is so very important, because time waits for no one.
Absolutely.
Really,
you
doesn't.
Are absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't. And we don't have one day, 1 minute, 1 second to waste on uncontrollables. We've got
That's
to get
right.
control of our thinking. We've got to get control of our lives.
Yes.
We've got to get control of those things, because so many new clients, I have gotten so many new clients this year. And Erica, I tell you, it's just a recording over and over and over and over and over again. I hear
mm-hmm.
so many new clients say, oh, I just can't do it. I've tried. I just can't do it. I've tried. Okay, well, time is passing you by. Time is passing you by, and if you can't do it, I don't know who can, because you're in control. You're in
That's
control.
That's right. Absolutely. I think what a lot of women need to realize is that they should stop looking outside of themselves for things to happen for them personally. Things that people want, women in particular who want to change in their lives, have to understand it's going to start with them and it ends with them. So seeking any outside source, you are setting yourself up for disappointment and failure, because it's not up to any outside source. It starts from within you. And the moment women start to realize that, things start to shift, circumstances and conditions happen so that you are actually getting now what it is that you've always wanted. And it's always been in you. It just takes a certain kind of oomph to show women how to tap into it.
Yep. I just had a new client that I started working with just this week. And bless her heart, this individual, she seems as sweet as she can possibly be, but it's the goal of, you know, most 90% of the individuals in this country is weight loss, and that's her
mm-hmm.
goal. You know, she wants to have a goal of weight loss. And, I mean, it's just she's a classic example, and, you know, I work with so many people like this. It's just a classic example of, well, you know, I'll feel better when I lose the weight. Well, I'll feel better. Life will be better when I get these bills paid off. Well, life will be better when my husband starts cooperating and he does this. And I'll feel better when my daughter does this. And, you know, all, like you said, all these things on the outside of her,
mm-hmm.
you know, losing weight and finding money to pay the bills and improving her marriage and,
yes.
you know, her daughter, relationships with her children. And, you know, all these things are not going to make a difference. Even if all of those things, I said, even if I could wave a magic wand and all those things were in place and the way you want them, something is going to bring you back down.
That's right.
Because inside is not cleaned up.
Exactly. That's an excellent way of putting that.
Yeah, you could clean up everything in your house. It can be spick and span, squeaky clean, and eventually, well, you're going to be happy for a minute, but eventually you're going to go right back to that dark place because you haven't cleaned up on the inside.
That's right. That's right.
Now, Erica, I want to ask you this because I know that, you know, you empower folks and give them the opportunity to learn a lot about themselves, and you have techniques that help them to focus on their human spirit and themselves. What kind of things can people start on? I mean, some simple things. I know they can get more going to your website and getting your information, but what kind of simple things that, you know, we take for granted the things that go on in our lives, and we don't look at those things and we say, well, I can't do, as Kathy mentioned, I can't do this and I can't do that. But a lot of folks don't understand that sometimes the smallest step is the biggest step to the journey that you need
right.
to take. And so what kind of things can people do?
Well, one of the first things I encourage people to do is to build a strong power circle. And what I mean by that is surrounding yourself with people who have a genuine desire to see you succeed, to see you happy. And we all have people in our lives that we think we should be a part of their lives simply because they're related to us, or maybe we went to high school together, we've just known each other so long, and I'm obligated to be around this person. That's one of the biggest myths that gets people into the biggest trouble. Just because they're related to you, it does not mean they have to be an intricate part of your life, period. I'll share a short story with you. I remember running into a young lady I went to elementary school with, and we also went to high school together. And it had been, however, 2 decades since we'd seen each other. And when I ran into her in the mall, I just remembered how negative she was, and I remembered the reasons I decided to create some distance between the two of us. But I thought maybe I'm overthinking this. You know, she was a nice person sometimes. And I talked to a different friend of mine, someone who's relatively close. And what she said to me, she said, Erica, don't feel obligated to keep that person in your life. It's not that she's been your friend for the last 25 years. She was your friend 25 years ago. And there's a strong difference. When you build that strong power circle, those people in your life that drain you of energy, the people, when you think about them, they just give you the flux, start to create some distance. That's a very small step that's going to make a huge impact in their lives. Another step is that you can learn how to say no. And you don't have to, this is a really difficult thing for a lot of people. They're afraid they're going to be viewed as not a team player, or maybe they're afraid of some type of reprimand. But when you're talking about saying no, you can start off with something small. If you go to a restaurant and the server brings you a salad with onions on it and you decided you didn't want any onions, start there. Some people will just pick the onions off and eat it anyway. That's an excellent opportunity for you to learn how to say no. And you can say, well, you know, sir or madam, I did request a salad with no onions. Will you take this one and bring me another one, please?
That's a small step that people can do that's going to make a massive impact on the quality of life they choose to have for themselves. Excellent question.
And you know something, and I want to say this because just the simple word no, what you just mentioned reminds me, because it seems as though when a person gets up in age, they're more experienced in life, they start seeing things that way. So there are things that they would have taken earlier on in life and went ahead and let someone get away with or allowed folks to impact on them in a negative way, whereas as they get older, they say no, or they'll say, well, this isn't the way I ordered it, or those kinds of things. But I love the fact that you're talking about it this way, because the bottom line is if you learn to do this early on, how much better your life can be, and you don't have to worry about waiting until you're older to do those kinds of things, because we find older folks, and I'm one of those folks, but we find older folks a lot of times, they seem to have life a little bit better, and they simplified because they know after the experiences that they've gone through, those things that they thought that were important aren't important.
Absolutely. That's an excellent way of putting that. And when you don't say no, especially at work, I see this situation when I talk to my clients all the time. When you fail to tell people no, you then become everybody else's inbox. Whatever it is that they need done, they're going to bring it to you regardless of whether or not it's your job to do them. And they bring it to you because you allow them to bring it to you. So, and then they're stressed out because now they're not getting their own work done and they're doing the workload of three people. So learning how to say no, and I teach a very unique technique on how to say it. The way that I teach it, some people don't even realize they were just told the word no. And it takes a lot of practice, but when you start now, when you start today doing it, it's going to get easier and easier, and you're going to notice that your stress level is a lot lower. You're going to be a lot happier on the inside. So all of those outside circumstances and conditions don't affect you the same way.
That's right. That's right. And you know, Erica and Tony both, I mean, that was a great question you asked, Tony. And, you know, I want to make a comment about the power circle, because I think that is extremely important. And you're right, it is a very small step that you can start taking now. And what you mentioned about people that are currently in your life aren't necessarily the people that are going to enhance and empower your life. And what I wanted to just add to that is, unfortunately, there are situations where you absolutely cannot eliminate the people totally, and, you know, that might be some of your family members, but you can minimize your time around them.
Oh, absolutely.
If you can't eliminate, now, friends, yes, you can eliminate friends because you have no obligation to them whatsoever, but family members that you absolutely can eliminate because, you know, they're your family or your children or your husband or your spouse, wife, whoever, if you absolutely, well, you can eliminate spouses too, but that's not something that anyone, well, you can, but it's not something people would do quickly. But you can minimize your time around that toxic person, you know, just minimize your time as best you can while you're working on strengthening your own spirit, because that's what it's going to take. And you're so right. You've got to create a very strong power circle,
Absolutely.
Because that's going to be your network, because they say your network is your net worth, and that's
that,
true.
Absolutely. Definitely. I think it's also important, Tony and Kathy, is to ask for what it is that you want. I think a lot of people, they figure if they do the
work. Hello, Erica, you still there?
It sounds like we dropped.
Uh-oh.
The line may have dropped, so hopefully
we
she'll be able
to.
Yeah, sounds.
Yeah.
And we've had that kind of thing go on before, so hopefully
we'll be able to. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, she's so right in everything she's saying, Tony, especially with the telling people no, because we have to set boundaries in our lives, and we teach people how to treat us.
Right.
We teach people how to treat us by setting those boundaries. Oh, looks like she's back.
Great.
Erica, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can. I don't know what happened, but that happens occasionally, so we're good. We're good.
Okay.
I was just making a comment about what you said about telling people no and setting boundaries, because we teach people how to treat us when we do that, because if we just continue to let them dump on us, then that shows them, by example, it shows them that we don't care about ourselves. We care about doing for everyone else, but we don't care about ourselves. So, yeah, they're going to continue to dump on us.
And I want to add this, too, real quick, and this is on a lighter side of it, but if you have a problem saying no to someone in English, just Google saying no in different languages, and you'll come up with 520 different languages to say no in. So if English is not your preferred way of saying no, find some other language, but learn to use one of those languages to get the message across.
Now, that's a very creative way of doing that. I really like that idea, Tony. That's good.
And learn to let it go. I mean, you can say no in a very loving, kind, considerate, respectful way. I mean, you don't have to just say, no, get out of my face. I mean, you can say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do that right now because I have these other tasks and priorities or whatever. So, I mean, you can say it in a very nice, loving way. You don't have to be mean about it, but just stand your ground and be firm and be kind and considerate.
You know, a sign of you giving too much of yourself and not enough of yourself back to yourself is a prime example of that would be I was a supervisor at a corporation and I conducted a lot of job interviews. And oftentimes you're asked, tell me about yourself. And I had people tell me all about the people that they volunteer for, people that they take care of. And after all is said and done, they haven't told me a thing about themselves. That is one of the primary things I find is that people aren't taking the time to figure out who they are, what they have to contribute to the rest of the world and how it affects them personally. We say yes over and over, and it's the holidays, my goodness. We say yes over and over and over again, and when all is said and done, we have neglected the person who needed us the most, ourselves, and it's time that we stop doing that. It's okay to do for other people. That karma is going to come right back, but you have to learn how to do for yourself.
Balance. That's right, balance. One of my clients, I always start my coaching sessions out the same way. I always record my sessions because I want my clients to listen back to what they said, and they always say, oh, my God, was that me making all those excuses? And that's why I like for them to listen back. But one of the things I always do initially in my first session is I always ask my clients to give me a list of, and you can think about this for our next session, but give me a list of five things that relaxes you. And, Erica, every single time I would venture to say 90% of the time, I always get a list of things that has nothing to do with the individual.
Mm. Wow.
Nothing whatsoever. They like cleaning out closets or what relaxes them is taking care of the children. It's just amazing.
Mm.
They have no idea how to focus on themselves. Because they're so busy, I guess they're just trying to maybe avoid looking at themselves or avoid facing what's inside, so they just put their attention on external things.
And
you know, go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to ask, because of what Kathy just said, because something that just hit me, one of the reasons I think a lot of people have problems with that, and being that way with themselves is we are raised so often to think that thinking of yourself first is a selfish way of thinking.
That's a good point.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so how do we offset that? Because that's one of the biggest things. That's a behavior. That's how a lot of folks are raised.
It's a belief.
So what do you need to do?
Change that belief.
Well, I think a lot of people want to do for themselves. The problem is that they don't know the how. It's just like going to see a motivational speaker, and the motivational speaker says, okay, you're great, you're fantastic, now go out there and be successful. Well, that energy and that power that you feel is going to start to fade.
And they're kind of left with, okay, how do I do that? When we're raised and when we're brought up, we're taught, okay, share your things. If you want to keep it to yourself, that's a bad thing, quote unquote, a bad thing, because you're being selfish. So the question is now, how exactly do we deprogram ourselves? The first step is just to take some time every day. If you can't do every day, which I doubt, seriously, do every other day. If you do 5 minutes or 10 minutes to do something just for you, forget the fact for a moment that the kids need a bath. If they need a bath right now, trust me, they'll need a bath in 10 minutes. Go ahead and take the 10 minutes for yourself. If it's a book that you love to read that makes you feel good, if it's just to sit down in the dark and close your eyes and simply be, then do that. Take some time for you and let it be, here's the important part, let it be okay that you're taking time out for you. Don't feel guilty that you've decided to take a moment for yourself. That starts the deprogramming process. Because like you said, Tony, growing up, we had that guilt if we didn't share. We had that guilt if we did for ourselves. So the guilt factor has to be taken out of it. Make it okay for you to do for you.
And that's so true, Erica. I want to add to that, because one of the major components of difficulty in making that mindset shift is your belief system. And we all, you are so right, Tony, you hit the nail on the head. We all come from some form of dysfunctional behavior in our childhood. And our beliefs are created for us when we're children. They're created for us. And that's one of those toxic beliefs that our parents create for us. You're selfish if you do for yourself and you don't pay any attention to anybody else. What we need to do as adults, we need to reassess our beliefs from our childhood and reshape those beliefs. We are adults now. We know what's right. So we have to take control and look at the beliefs that are healthy, look at the beliefs that are toxic. We can't do, and think about it, Tony, when you were a child and your mother told you that, and my mother and our parents told us that. How good of a mood were they in when you asked them to do something for you? Did they pretty much tell you to go sit down somewhere, shut up, and leave me alone? You know why? Because they weren't doing for themselves.
Yeah.
They weren't healthy themselves, and that's why. They didn't even know it themselves, but their beliefs were so toxic, they weren't able to do for you because they weren't doing for themselves. So they put that toxic belief onto you, and now you feel like, I can't do for myself. Because they didn't.
You know, and I'm going to say this because Kathy knows this about me. And sometimes I'll hear something, and I'm a marketing and promotion person, so phrases come up. So something that plays right into that right now is a phrase that we probably can utilize, and it can be enhanced or worked on a little bit. But one thing that just came up just now was, me time is we time. Because if I work on me, then what we'll have later on is going to be a lot better, whether it's a social thing or a group thing. But me time becomes we time. So let me work on me, and then I can work on we. So.
Very nice. And very true.
See,
very accurate.
I'm writing that down, Tony. Can I steal it?
See?
I like that. I really like that. And, you know, that's especially true for relationships, especially for spouse. If you're in a marriage or a relationship, because, you know, one partner may be going through some toxic situations, and, you know, you need to step back and allow that partner to work on themselves and not always make it about you. Well, I need you, and I want you, and I want your attention. Well, you know what? You need to sacrifice your needs, especially if the other individual is healthy, and allow your spouse, allow your significant other that time to step back and focus on them without making them feel guilty, like you said, Tony, from the childhood, that old childhood belief, without making them feel guilty. Step back and give that loved one some time to work on themselves.
Absolutely. And that's an excellent segue to something I was going to mention in terms of male-female relationships and dynamics. As you know, Kathy, I'm writing a book called The Secrets to Being an Unstoppable Woman, and I have an entire chapter dedicated. It's called He Said, She Said, and it's just totally dedicated to the relationships between men and women and how to have a more harmonious relationship between the two of them. And when I speak and I teach, I ask men in the room, and I love it when I have men in the room because they're so forthcoming. I say, all right, guys, here's a list that I'm going to give to every woman on the planet on how we can communicate with you more effectively and make you happy. What's on that list? And I put that list in the book, but I'm going to share the number one thing. They say, get to the point. I said, get to the point. They say, yeah, women, quote, unquote, like to circle the airport. They say, you talk, and you don't actually say anything. So I talk to women about how to be succinct in their thought process, how to speak in a manner that is more receptive to our male counterparts. That was an excellent segue to that. And I think allowing them to have their time, because something else on their list is, please don't smother me. That is an awesome thing, is to allow other people to have their own time so that they can more effectively build a more harmonious relationship.
And do it in a loving manner.
Absolutely.
Make sure you let that person know it's okay for you to take that time, because I love you and I want you to be whole. Because like Tony said, me time becomes we time. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That is so true. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit different. Since I have two very powerful PWN sisters on this call, I'm going to go ahead and bring Sathadia Bush on the line. She is my second guest for the second half hour, but I'm going to just keep you on, Erica, if you don't mind, if you want to.
No, you know, not at all.
I'm just going to pull her into the discussion because I think this is a very powerful discussion, and I'm really enjoying it. So I'm going to bring her on the line, and just to introduce her real quick, she is the president of Lifetime Professional Institute, which is a personal and professional training organization, and she has over 27 years of experience in the federal and corporate community, where she's held numerous leadership and management positions. So I am going to bring Sathadia. Are you there?
I am here. Good afternoon. It's so good to be here with you all. Thank you
good,
for having me.
Good, good. And I don't know if you heard much of what we was discussing, but the topic just really started to get heated. And, you know, I just wanted to go ahead and do something a little different and bring you on the line, since we're all PWN sisters. And, you know, Tony's not a PWN sister, but, you know, he's with us in spirit.
I've been to a conference, so. Yeah.
Oh, you know you have. That is absolutely true. You have been to one of our conferences. That's true. That's true. So, and we enjoyed you at that time. So, so welcome, Sathadia. So,
you
want to just take a couple of minutes and talk about your experience and what you do and your organization?
Well, what we do, I have as you said, a personal and professional training development organization, and I specialize in etiquette and professional and personal image. It's what I do. And I kind of got the tail end of what you all were talking about, but basically etiquette is just showing respect and kindness to others. It's using common courtesy, proper manners, and that's what etiquette is all about. We use it every day.
That's true. That is so, so very true.
Mm-hmm.
That is right. Now, we had been talking about our belief system, and Erica had made a comment earlier about, well, Tony had asked a question about what are some of the small steps that you can take to try to start turning your life around, because we need to be in control of our lives, and we need to empower ourselves to be the best individuals we can be. So Erica said one of the small steps we could take is to build a strong power circle, which is exactly what the PWN is all about.
Exactly. Building a strong, I agree.
Power circle of, you know, sisterhood or brotherhood or whatever the case may be, and also to try to eliminate or minimize the negative toxic people in your life.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Eliminate the negative and the naysayers, because as they say, you want to surround yourself with people that's going to build you up, not to tear you down. So there comes time, it could be a good friend, it could be a family member. I've had to push people aside because they're going in a completely different direction from where I'm headed, and I don't have time for negative or naysayers. So she's I wholeheartedly agree with that statement.
Now, so Thady, I want to ask you this, because when you talk about the behaviors and etiquette, and it seems as though some of the things that we were taught coming up about that process, it seems as though things have changed in on not only from a community standpoint, but in business, it just seems to be different. Are you noticing that, or am I just seeing something in my environment that? But it just seems that people aren't handling one another as respectfully as they used to, and they aren't taking care of business the way they should. Are you seeing the same kind of thing?
Yes, we are. We're seeing a lot of that. In fact, our business is really booming because everybody's rushed and we're in a hurry. We don't have time for anyone else. And a lot of people the people skills, they just don't treat others with that kindness. You walk down the street and you
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah,
is that you, Erica?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, I think we may have lost Cythadia.
Yeah. Okie dokie. I guess this is our night for having a few audio problems, but as we stated, it happens. So.
And that's okay. And we're professional, so we're just going to roll with it.
That's right. You know, and actually I'm glad everything happens for a reason, and that's why I decided to do something different and bring you both on the line to have a group discussion, and I'm glad I did that because, okay, looks like she's back on the line now, so that didn't take long. So, Thady, you back?
Yes, I am. I'm back. I don't know what happened there, but I agree with that. We don't have time to show that kindness and consideration like we used to. And, in fact, some of the people in my workshops, they would say, you know, some of the things that you brought up, my mom told me about that, but I completely forgot that because we're just so in such a hurry nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the social networking, too, that we're kind of losing that where we used to get up, and even in the work environment, we would have that face-to-face. We'd walk around, talk to that person. Now what do? We send them an email, and you don't have that contact, that interaction like we used to.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, that's a very, very good point because I just recently did an audio program about believing so that you can become an achiever, believers becoming achievers. And one of the reasons people they struggle with accomplishing their goals is because they want it right now.
Exactly.
You know, and what you talked about earlier, Tony, what are some of the small things we can just, you know, start doing now? You know, that was a great question because people think that everything is supposed to happen overnight. It took you 30, 40, even 50 years to hold on to these beliefs that you established in your childhood. So it's not going to be an easy overnight process to change those beliefs and reassess those beliefs and eliminate the toxic beliefs that are holding you back and create new healthy beliefs that can move you forward. And we live in a rush, hurry-up society. We want it right now. We can download music at the drop of a hat. We can, like you said, send an email and get an answer immediately. We want everything instantaneously. We have pills to lose weight. We can go to the doctor and get our stomach ripped apart and torn apart to put bands on it and stuff to lose weight instead of doing the lifestyle changes, going to the gym, working out, eating better, to lose weight. We want everything to happen fast. And if we could just switch our mindset to understand it took a while to get you there and it's going to take a while to get you in a different place, because mindset shift is what it takes for a lifestyle change. Because the lifestyle change lasts forever. And these little temporary fixes like diet pills and tearing your stomach up to lose weight and all these other things, they're not going to last for very long. People will take their last dollar to try and go win the lottery instead of taking the time it takes to investigate creative ways to generate multiple streams of income. So, I mean, I just think that that's a very, very good point about the society and people being in a hurry. And we just need to slow down, assess where we are, and just put a plan in place, and as Eric and Tony stated, do some of the smaller things first that we know that we can accomplish, and then work up from there. I mean, we're all life coaches. Everyone on this call is a life coach or a motivational speaker, and we can help. We can help with that.
You're right. And Kathy, I wanted to ask Erica and Satheta this, because we were talking about how, particularly with the Internet now and emails and text messages and things like that, I want to find out, are those tools that are supposed to make our lives easier getting in the way of the way that we need to live our lives better? I mean, to interact with one another better, to care more about ourselves. Because one thing I know, that a lot of times when I'm searching for this or searching for that, I'm doing something for something that I was working on, but it's not really for myself. It's not really an enhancement. It's not a quality time kind of thing. Is that something that we need to step away from and do less of, so that we can take care of ourselves and work with others a little bit better?
Tony, I would agree with that. I think separating, or if you were to chart your life in a circle on a piece of paper, we're going to do a pie chart, and if you were to divide it up honestly, what is the biggest chunk of that pie? Where is your time mostly spent? Is it spent at work, at school, with your kids, on your spouse? And then look at how much time you actually want to spend in that particular area. If you were to draw another circle, your ideal circle, if you will, and you were to divide that up into a pie chart, you will notice a significant difference in how much time and energy you spend doing a number of things as opposed to how much time and energy you would desire to spend doing a lot of things. And you were talking about what are some things that you can do that are small, things that you can do starting today. I actually compiled something called 5 Things Unstoppable People Do, and I give it away for free. And I do that simply because I care about people. It's people first, money second for me, and I've always been that way, and I thank my grandmother for that. But it's called 5 Things Unstoppable People Do, and you can download it for free off of my website. And those are things, and I've mapped them out in detail, what you can start to do this moment, this instant, in order to become more unstoppable in your own life. If you're not happy with where you are, the good news is that that's a changeable situation. It's not something that you have to endure for the rest of it. We are given the gift of choice, so go ahead and use it. And not making a decision is a decision as well. A lot of people think they can get around that, but you can't. So if you want to know exactly what you can do, if you're a visual person, go ahead and draw a pie chart. Where's your life right now? And then draw another circle of where it is that you'd like to be. And for a lot of people, it just totally blows them away. It's like, wow, I had no idea. I gave myself that little energy. And now that I see that, there's something else I can do.
Gotcha.
That's great advice. That's great. And you know, I want to add to that, but because I hear this comment a lot, you know, in everything we've been talking about, some of the things that we can do for ourselves to, you know, take a day or two a week where you have the quiet time and just quiet your thoughts, because thoughts are very powerful. And if you could just find a way to quiet your thoughts, take quiet time, meditate, visualize yourself in where you want to be and what you want to be, and silence your thoughts. And a lot of people say, well, I don't have time because I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Well, you know what? It's going to always be something that you need to do. So you've got to make the decision to, you know, have some discipline and time management and find the time that you need to do these things. Because this is going to improve your life. This is for you. You can't be anything for anyone else until you are something for yourself. So you've got to find the time. It's going to always be a holiday. It's going to always be a birthday. It's going to always be an anniversary. It's going to always be some situation that's going to be pulling at us and tugging at us, like the holidays. Well, it's the holidays, so I can't do this, I can't do that. You can do whatever you want to do if you find the time, make the time, and make it a priority.
Absolutely. I completely concur with that.
And I concur with that.
Sathadia, I had a question for you. Where are you based? Like, where's your company based?
We're in San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio. I love that town. Love it. Do you go nationwide to do your workshops?
Yes, I do. I sure do.
That's great. That's great.
I wanted to add, Tony, you were talking a while back about the a lot of this new media, the Twitters and the emails and the Facebooks and all of the different things that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I find that we can go out to a luncheon, to dinner, and probably half of the people, they're sitting there, should be interacting with people at the table, and they're looking at their BlackBerry, their
right.
Emailing someone, they're tweeting and doing things, and it's kind of like, what happened here? I think it's a good thing that we've moved in that direction, but we're kind of letting it control us a little bit too much, I believe.
So, with that, I'm glad you said it like that, because so how do you get back to that etiquette? I mean, how do you get back to the mindset? Because it really is about respect. I understand being in a business meeting and all of that. It used to be that if you were a doctor, you had a pager. And everything, you know, where you may get an emergency call and you go in. Okay, well, everybody has the ability to get that call now because they have cell phones and or any kind of mobile device with them. And everyone seems to think that everything is important. But it's about a respect thing. So how do we get back to being respectful not only to those folks that are sitting across the table or the group that we're there to speak with or meet with, but it's also showing respect for ourselves, because if you respect the people around you, you're showing respect for yourself. So what do we need to do? What are some of the first things we need to do that? Because that's a big deal for me. I'm in a meeting and I see people tweeting or any of those kinds of things, it drives me crazy, and I'll just stop talking sometimes and go, well, obviously what you have to do is very important, so I'll let you finish before I finish what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Well, if it were me, I would, if I'm facilitating the meeting and I'm in control of the meeting, immediately the first thing I ask before we get started, I want everyone to turn off their mobile device. Now, you may hear some groans and moans and complaining, but you're running the meeting. So you have that power. Don't allow it.
And in my workshop, I teach people that if you're in a meeting, you turn off your, I put it on silencer, a vibration, or do something, but no answering the cell phones, no tweeting, because what you're doing, like Tony said, you're showing disrespect to the person that's conducting the meeting as well as the members
right.
that's attending that meeting. So what I teach people, I tell them, unless it's an emergency, and we all have emergencies, and they can also tell the person up front, look, I'm expecting an important phone call, and take your phone call outside of the meeting if it's that important. But make sure that
right.
the person knows up front that you're going to do this, and that way they expect that and they know what you're doing. But don't sit there and hold that conversation, because it's very disrespectful and disruptive to the meeting. So what we do, I try to train people that when they go even to a luncheon, to dinner, to business meetings, turn that cell phone off, the BlackBerry, because it's very disrespectful and very annoying.
And Tony, I think another thing we can do is lead by example. I mean, if you think about it, and, you know, I'm not going to, you know, ask anyone on the call, but if you think about it, have you ever been in a meeting where you yourself have been text messaging while the facilitator is talking or the meeting organizer is speaking? No one has to answer, but just think about that. Have you yourself ever done that? So if we could lead by example, when we go into a meeting or if we're out to dinner with a colleague or whatever, and if we stop, If they see us turn off our text or put it on silencer, then that will give them, again, we have to teach people how to treat us.
Mm-hmm.
So if we lead by example and we turn off ours, we don't sit there and text.
And, Kathy, I agree with that. That is so true. That just falls right in line with our etiquette, because my grandmother lived to be, and I always use this in all of my workshops, she lived to be 103 years old. And
wow.
I asked her one time, I said, what is your secret for a long life, and she says, happy life at that. And she says, you know what? I always treat others the way that I want to be treated. And that goes right back to what you're saying, lead by example. Etiquette is just treating others the way you yourself would like to be treated.
Exactly. So if you think it's rude, if you call a meeting and you think it's rude, then don't you sit in someone else's meeting and tweet and text and do all those things that you know are disrespectful. Don't do it.
Now, here's something I want to ask, and anybody can answer this, but I want to ask this because this is always, you know, since we're talking about etiquette and things like that, and also, the one thing I want to ask is, it seems as though there has been and forgive the expression, but a dumbing down when it comes to that kind of behavior, because I've been in places where people are managers of organizations and or divisions and or groups, and it seems as though they never in their lives have ever been told how to treat other people or the simple rules of etiquette. So when it comes to the simplest kinds of things, maybe the top five, one, two, or three, what kinds of things do we just need to know that will get us started?
Are you talking to me? I think the basic thing that we need to keep in mind that etiquette is the rules and the guidelines, and it is just to be polite. Always be polite. Polite behavior, good manners, to treat other people with that respect, the dignity, and always keep that in mind. But I do believe that we have gotten away from that, and everybody is in a hurry. Are they like Kathy said earlier, it's all about me. I could care less about you. It's just I'm taking care of myself. So if we learn to put others first and treat other people with that kindness and that respect, I think we will see a shift because people are concerned. I was listening to, I believe it was your show last week, and you all were talking about people. You have the technical skills. You get the business training, but those people and the soft skills, they're not getting that. They're not getting it in universities or college. In fact, I'm working now with the universities and colleges here because they're not getting that etiquette training and that people skills, how to interact with others. So I think they need to focus on getting that into the schools. And even I work with young girls as well in middle school because they're not getting it either, that training. So I think we need to put that into the schools.
Also, there are a lot of children, teenagers and such, who don't know etiquette simply because their parents didn't know etiquette. Perhaps there are workshops you can do where you train parents on how to train their children on etiquette, because I think a lot of parents drop their children off at school and they kind of expect the school to kind of take over and teach them everything they are to know. It would be great if they taught etiquette in schools. I've always been an advocate of that, but sometimes people don't know how to teach someone how to do something else. And if you were to train managers, training parents on how to train other people, that would be a milestone, and it would just have the trickle-down effect. It's the same way we have generational curses. Instead of having generational curses, we can have generational blessings, and that doesn't have to be with families. It could be with generational workplace environment. When people leave a job or retire, the people who are coming in can get taught. So teach one and then teach another on how to teach someone else. I think that's an excellent place to start.
Right. And in fact, in a lot of my workshops, I have like the daughters and the mom and the daughters. They both attend, even the dads. I've had fathers attend as well because they want to learn, because people want to know what to do in social situations. They want to know how to treat other people. But like you said, it just was not passed down. We lost that training.
Right. And one other thing I wanted to comment on is because we've talked about, you know, different things about how Tony mentioned in our childhood we established that belief from our parents and our caregivers that, you know, if you do for others so much that you're selfish and those sides. Well, I just think there is a time and place for everything.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time for you. There's a time that you need to take out for yourself. And then there's also a time that you need to respect others and consider what they need, while at the same time giving to yourself for your own empowerment. So I think we need to come up with that balance because it's all about both. I mean, we need to respect ourselves, we need to respect other people, and we need to find the time, the tools, and the methods to do that.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And if I can piggyback on that, Kathy, because I was sitting here thinking the exact same thing, because we're looking at both sides in this discussion. We're looking at part of being a person that has etiquette and has, you know, concern for others. You have to be a selfless individual and give of yourself to others and be respectful to those other individuals. But to get to that point, you also have to care enough about yourself to realize
right.
that if I don't care about who I am, I can't do that anyway. So to get those tools, to get all the things that you need, you've got to learn those things and take care of you. As you said, you got to take care of you before you can take care of others. You've got to be a better you before you can be better for anyone else. And when you tie them in together, I mean, this is, forgive me for saying this, I know we've had some great shows. This is one of the best shows we've had.
Yep. I agree. Absolutely agree.
And that ties into my other half of what I do, Kathy and Tony. We talk about image also, self-image, the confidence that you have. And I teach that image is a package. It's appearance, it's attitude, as well as behavior. And it's knowing when to say no, because if you say yes, 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 like you were saying to everybody else, of course then you're going to have that anger, you're going to be upset because you really did not want to do something, but you're so used to saying yes, 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 and then what do you have? You've got an ugly attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take care of ourselves and we're happy people, then the people around us will be happy.
You better believe it. So again, I mean, and we're winding down to our last few minutes here, but, you know, basically what we're trying to let everyone know here with this discussion is that you must have the discipline, you must have the strength, you must have the empowerment, and you must have the right mindset before you're going to be able to bring all of these other things into balance. That's where it starts. It starts with your beliefs, and it starts with your thoughts. And once you have those under control, and you have taken the time for yourself, the quiet time, the meditation, visualize where you want to be, visualize the person that you want to be, visualize what you want in your life, what you're trying to accomplish. See yourself in that place. Silence those thoughts that are always going through your head constantly, day in and day out, moment in and moment out. 75,000 thoughts per day pretty much is what statistics say we process. So we've got to get a handle on that. And once we get a handle on that, I think everything else will take care of itself. Once we know who we are, then we'll be better equipped to treat other people the way they need to be treated.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And since we're in the last few minutes, my final thought on everything that we've talked about, and I agree, Tony, this has been an absolutely great show, is to keep learning. Even though I do seminars and trainings and get invited to speak at conferences, I'm still a participant in trainings and conferences. The moment you think you know everything, that's the moment it's time for you to learn something new. You want to keep learning. If money is tight, you can go to 5unstoppablethings.com. It's the number 5unstoppablethings.com. Download my Jumpstart training. If you're not exactly sure where to go or what you need to learn, start there. And there are a number of other resources that are available to you, but keep learning.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're coming up on our last 60 seconds, ladies. I knew this was going to go fast. This has been a fabulous, as Tony said, I totally agree, one of the best shows we've had in a long time. So thank you so much for all of your wonderful, empowering tips. Thank you, Tony. We are so excited about the campaign. Go to emotionalbailout.com for details. And we are going to sign off for now. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Sathadia, and thank you so much, Erica. And we will be seeing you next week here on the Living by Design show as we come to our grand finale show before our big day on December the 10th. I'm Kathy Holloway-Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
Good night, everyone.